CliffCentral.com.
I love this. Clean Bandit Rockabye featuring Sean Paul, John DePaul, and Anne-Marie. Ah, great. What a way to start the Friday morning. Good morning.
What an unmusical name, Anne-Marie.
I know. It's like...
That's her name? Right.
Hi, everybody. This is Anne-Marie, my cousin.
Yeah. She should have her own line of jams, not singing. It's like, yeah, Sean DePaul and Anne-Marie. Like, it just doesn't gel together.
What, doesn't do it for you?
No, not at all.
All right. Sean DePaul. Ben sent me a clip of Misha Barton. You remember her?
From the OC fame?
Yes.
She was a big deal back in the day.
She was a big deal, and she was a very attractive big deal as well. I mean, I thought so. You know, at the time, people were talking about Misha Barton like she was the big thing. She was the girl. Everybody wanted her. Listen to this, and we'll talk about it a little bit. She's rambling and incoherent. She says it was after she was drugged, but she's kind of fallen off the reserve.
Uh-oh.
Listen to this.
On planet Earth, bye.
Where is she? Is she in her backyard?
She's at home, Gareth. She's at home.
God. This doesn't sound
she's
good.
She's at home in the OC, and she's literally hanging on her fence like a...
She's leaning over a fence. She looks terrible.
Anybody? Oh my God, it's over. I feel it. And it's angry. Oh my God. Oh my mother. I always knew it. Oh, you fucking witch.
What?
I knew it. What a witch. I was right. Guys. She's dying. And we're dying. We're dying. I knew it. I didn't want to even know. Oh my God.
Wow, you know.
It's terrifying.
What? It is terrifying, honey. She's spinning out of control. So, all right, any theories about what's really going on here?
Okay, well, firstly, it is terrifying for her neighbors. This happens often.
Yeah, they filmed this.
Police get called out often because she's hanging on a fence. And there's a big problem here, I reckon, with if you get to a point of celebrity, right, early in your career, and you're a big deal, but you're more because of a show, okay? Misha Barton wasn't a tremendous actress. She wasn't exactly a singer or anything special.
Especially any reality TV stuff.
She was on a show that, like, the show was bigger than her, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all those Friends
that
actors,
was,
they all went
big,
on.
Cool, relevant show.
Cool. But that was the OC, right?
Yeah.
So what happens after that? Nothing. Okay, so now this happened to a lot of stars before, whether it be one-hit wonders in the music kind of front, one-movie wonders, whatever it is. So that's like it. So you get this high expectation of what life is, right? You become very accustomed to the fact that everyone knows you and loves you, and you get money for just being you. So now I'm guessing, again, this is me just speculating, that's all dried up, right? Misha Barton's now 31. So
it's over for her.
Everything's kind of fading in her life, and she was placed under involuntary psychiatric care back in like a few years
involuntary ago. Psychiatric care is this is not a joke, this is a serious thing.
Stuff happens a lot to her, right? But now again, when you ever prepared for this kind of stuff, when in life do you everything happens so quickly, you become so famous and fabulous, and then nothing? And that's how, like, okay, this whole thing is she's babbling about committing suicide. This is what the authorities eventually got down to when they got there, is that she was contemplating suicide. She's this whole thing about being over. That's what she feels her life is. You know, obviously this is just people are going to laugh at this video and say, oh, this chick's lost it. But I reckon this isn't at all unique. I reckon this is happening all over with these celebs. They get like taken in by the industry and then just get spat out by it too.
Well, you often say what happened to this one or what happened to that one. You bring up like famous names from the past that we've forgotten about and where they are now. I think fame is really a very cruel master.
It's a drug, like just like cocaine or anything else. It's a drug.
Absolutely,
you get very high on it, very literal comparison there, and then the come down it's such a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, you mentioned she's 31 years old. The final episode of the OC aired in 2007. That's 10 years ago. So the OC ended when she was only 21, which means at its peak, she was like probably 19 or 20. And what does that do to you? That would screw you up highly.
And everyone's saying, what's after the OC? You know, obviously she goes to castings all the time, right? I think, oh, look, there's Misha Barton from the OC. She's done nothing since the OC.
And every casting you go to, people are judging you for it as well.
Exactly.
So you're screwed if you do, screwed if you don't, right?
Oh, properly.
Oh, that's hectic. Wow, I almost feel bad for her. But then you can't go and hang over your fence with your neighbors next door and start screaming and carrying on like a lunatic.
You see, but you see this so often with these, I'll say, stars who transition, you know, from like this young star to now growing up and now going, oh, cool, I'm not like young and cute anymore. I'm not the girl next door that everyone casts. What do I do? And they all have that meltdown. You know, Britney Spears had in 2007, and everyone does
it. Well, at least Britney's still got a career. I mean, she can put out a song or two.
Well, she gathers herself up.
What's Misha Barton got to look forward to? And this is something people don't take seriously. We all have this fantasy in our heads that we would be able to stop working tomorrow, right? Yeah,
exactly.
We've spoken about this before. Everybody goes to work in the morning like, oh, I've got to get to work. I mean, there's some people who are happy to go to work. But most of us are like, we don't want to wake up at this time and be in traffic at this time and get to the office at this time and then report to somebody and do this, do that.
Yeah.
We like to fantasize about the idea that there's this world waiting for us where we would be retired and be able to do whatever we wanted and have pools and pools of money. But the reality is,
a good thing.
No, well, the reality for her is she's got nothing to wake up to.
Other than memories of when things were good.
Her best years are behind her and she's only 31.
Oof. You see, because work does give you that sense of meaning. It gives you
purpose.
And now when you don't have that, and especially in an industry where you're always compared to someone else.
Well, imagine Misha. She lives to 100. And she's 31 now, and her best years were in her 20s.
Oh, girl.
That means 80% of her life is going to be miserable like this. She's going to be hanging over walls for the next 80 years, foreseeably.
Sure, the neighbors are
and running out of money.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, she's still obviously got some money from that show. She seems to be living in a house.
Yeah, but I was going to
ask. What happens when the money leaves?
What does she have now? Does she have an endorsement deal? Does she have...
Yeah. It's very bad, huh?
Clothing lined. Oh, I guess.
Like, Gareth, there was a very depressing story yesterday about how this guy who had a model agency has now been convicted of 32 counts of sexual abuse and child abuse.
South African
kind of
guy.
Stuff. So this whole entertainment thing, right?
We all want to grab someone here in this country?
Yeah. Yep. So it's a model agency boss. His name is Davi de Villiers, who was on Wednesday found guilty of 32 of 38 charges, including raping a child and sexual assault.
Oh, my God.
So the reason I bring that up, okay, everyone's got this thing, I want to be famous, I want to be fantastic, I want to be a star, but jeepers, look at the runoff of what happens when you're not that 1% that make it.
And look at what kind of people are in charge of that industry.
Exactly, the people you're going to get involved with. Again, I reference the show, Black Mirror, that I've been watching, right? There's this episode where it's very, very clever in that your life is meaningless, but you get that one chance to become famous. Oh. And everyone plays for this, but then exactly, your life is just horrible once it works out.
What about your favorite? You always bring her up whenever we talk about Sean Paul's Blue Cantrell.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
Because I just think musically, Shonda Paul is very much just, it's like Sonny and Cher without the Cher. There's not going
you
on.
You might remember, let me just remind you. So Blue Cantrell became famous in what, 2001?
Yes.
And this was really the
Which
song.
She was talking about very musty underwear.
Right.
What? You just ruined that song for me, Ben. Oh, man.
So this is her most famous song, and she actually got to number 2 on the Billboard chart with that. You know, she's got a couple of albums under her belt, and you know, she's done okay, you would think.
Oh, shame.
What's she up to now? I mean, where are they now, right? The best game you could ever play if you think fame is the solution to your problems.
Life has been tough for her, hey?
What's she been doing? What's she up to?
You know, I don't even know how she survived all these years, but it was only just back in 2014 where she suffered a mental breakdown. Yo, Blue Askies. So it was back in September of 2014 when she was hospitalized for mental evaluation.
Right.
After she ran through a Santa Monica neighborhood screaming that her life was in danger. This all happened at about 2 a.m. and she started ranting about someone trying to give her, inverted commas, poisonous gas. And witnesses say that her erratic behavior lasted for so long that police were called. Now get this. Cantrell herself reportedly referred to herself as a one-hit wonder after questioning if authorities recognized who she is.
Oh my God, that's so depressing.
Oh, Blue. Shucks.
Hi, I'm one-hit wonder.
Don't you know who Luke I am? I'm a one-hit wonder. And there's no update as to where she is or how things have worked out for her since.
See, and this is exactly why the mothers and toddlers and tiaras must be locked up. Lock them up. Because they are going to perpetuate the cycle. Suddenly those little kids that go in there with no choice of their own are all going to become meth addicts.
This is why I also like a good heartwarming story. Like Mama June, who's Honey Boo Boo's mother.
Yeah.
She's getting a new reality show because she's getting like this whole plastic surgery makeover.
Ma June is getting her own show?
Mama June has her own reality show now.
Really?
See, there's an upside to Blue Cantrell being, you know, in a mental institute. Mama June gets her own reality show.
Oh, the world is going to collapse.
Two sides of a coin, folks.
Speaking of collapsing, the governor of Minnesota was giving his state of the state speech, and he collapsed. He passed out. Because he sounds like he's very drunk, but he's actually, apparently he was on medication, and he's had some fatigue issues. But listen to this. So he takes a sip of water. He's kind of an older man. You can hear him drinking the water, and he's standing there. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
but despite that awful cost.
Uh-oh. He falls down.
That is it?
Yeah, he like shrugs.
Put him to the ground.
Shrugs his shoulders, and then he just falls.
Get him to the ground, please. Right.
And I didn't even understand that first line, so he must have started deteriorating a little bit before that.
Of Minnesota, Mark Dayton collapsing during his annual State of the State speech.
By the way, he hit his head on the lectern.
Of course he did.
Lindsay Davis joins us now with more on the story and, more importantly, the latest on the governor's condition. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, Robin. As you can imagine, this caused quite a bit of panic in the State House chambers last night. The governor...
By the way, if the president had tried this at the Sona last night, he might have got some sympathy.
Minnesota was giving his 2017 State of the State of address when he drank
state
some water, trying to continue on with his speech, and then simply collapsed.
A frightening health scare Monday night as the Minnesota governor delivered his state address. After speaking for nearly 45 minutes, Governor Mark Dayton's words started to slur.
But despite that awful cost.
Seconds later, the governor collapses at the podium.
Get him to the ground. Get him to the ground, please.
Bystanders rush to his aid.
Is it horrible that I find this funny?
The night.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay.
All I do know is that Minnesota needs to get behind our governor tonight and say a few prayers.
The governor also seemed to take a spill ahead of the speech, nearly toppling over. But lawmakers say he's known to be a tough old bird.
As everybody in Minnesota knows, former goalie, so he's suffered hits before and bounced back.
This wasn't the first time the Democratic governor, who turned 70 this week, has fainted in public. Last January, Dayton was taken to the hospital after fainting at a political event. This time...
Oh, come on, get over your... Mugabe's in his 90s, dude. He doesn't do this. You should be embarrassed.
The governor walked out of the Capitol. EMTs joined him later at his home. His son, Eric, tweeted thanks to well-wishers and noted the governor was doing a very advanced puzzle with his grandson, Hugo, adding, that has to be a good sign.
Oh, boy. Can you believe that? That's hysterical. Oh, another person who's hysterical. Donald Trump must destroy Obama's legacy. Louis Farrakhan. You know who he is?
Mm-mm.
No.
Louis Farrakhan is the... He's a far sort of right American black leader, Black Panthers, all of that stuff. Listen to what he says about Obama's legacy. This is kind of weird. He's got theme music.
Good evening. I'm still reporting on Obama.
This is not so exciting.
I have never shared anything by Louis Farrakhan, and before tonight would have bet money that I never would have. However, then came this.
Here's Louis Farrakhan at the...
So you Democrats, you've been in that party a long time. Answer me, what did you get? You got a president. He's worried about his legacy. Well, you want Hillary to get in to protect your legacy, because Trump said the minute he get in, he's going to reverse the Affordable Care Act. Because that's your signature achievement. To show you how hateful the enemy is, he hates that you achieved what you did achieve. So he said, I'm going to tear it up when I get in.
And he's getting into the
spirit. So he don't want his legacy destroyed. Mr. President, let the man do if he get in what he want. Because he's not destroying your legacy. If your legacy is bound up in an Affordable Care Act that only affects a few million people, and they're trying to make it really difficult for those of us who signed up.
I just love the way he talks.
Yeah, he's. I just feel like he's about to crack out a sermon soon. Yeah.
He's building for something.
That's the thing. There's going to be a climax point.
Well, he's a religious leader. I mean,
that's it.
He's from the religious group Nation of Islam. He served as a minister in major mosques in Boston in America. So, you know, this time he happens to be in a Christian church.
Now it makes sense.
Which is interesting. But that was his whole take on Obama. I don't get these guys who are like so anti-Obama all of a sudden. I really don't get it. They were very quiet during his 8 years.
Uncle Obama?
Yeah, and then suddenly they're full of it. By the way, one of the happiest things, or one of the things that will make you the happiest, is if you get online and you go and watch those videos of Obama and Richard Branson kite surfing while he's on holiday.
Yeah.
This guy is loving not being president anymore. He is so happy. He could care less with Donald Trump and all of the stuff that's going on. He's like, it's my time now. He's deserved it, right?
Oh, his golf game's going to go
through the roof.
His handicap's dropping.
Through the roof. It's going to be amazeballs.
Aye, aye, aye.
All right, when we come back, we'll speak to the one and only Ranjini Munsami. She's written an awesome article on the Daily Maverick today called Calamity Zuma and the 10th Circle of Hell. Got to talk to her about this.
Do you think she's mincing her words there?
No, trust me, this is going to be amazing. So stick around I have no doubt, because she was in the State of the Nation address in Parliament yesterday. So Ranjini will have lots to say, and she's always great to listen to. So she's coming up next. Don't go away. This is CliffCentral.com. All right, it's Bruno Mars with 24 Karat Magic.
If you had to figure out the sound of a Friday.
Yeah, that's a Friday.
That song is it, yeah.
Right, spot on. All right, I've just this morning read an incredible piece written by Ranjini Munsami. She's on the line to talk to us from Cape Town. Good morning, Ranjini. How are you?
I've had better days, Garrett. You know, it's you get kind of punch drunk attending sauna these days.
Well, you've written,
physically punch drunk, but I guess there are a couple members of parliament today with bruises and sore bodies. It was quite something.
Well, you've written a beautiful article in the Daily Maverick today called Sona 2017, Calamity Zuma and the 10th Circle of Hell. And you start off, I just want to reiterate this for people who think that this is just another article. Here is the opening sentence. Once again, the matter of least concern was what President Jacob Zuma said in his 5,589-word report card to the nation. And that is the massive tragedy of this annual shit show. You're not mincing your words, and the president's words were the least interesting part of the evening, because all the action took place before he started his speech.
Yes, because actually, that is what you and I and every other taxpayer in this country is paying the president to do, is to tell us what his job is, what his government job is, and what they're going to be doing this year. The whole other Mardi Gras that went on, you know, for this entire week, is not, it should not be where the focus is. But unfortunately, that's what it becomes. So, you know, this non-speech that the president then delivers, 5,500 and whatever words, Garrett, where he, you know, he droned on as if, you know, nothing else had happened in the chamber, nothing else had happened in his presidency. And throughout it all, the, this massive promise of radical economic change, of a new phase in the country, all of that is just another round of empty promises that don't make sense.
But also, he doesn't really mean all this stuff. Sorry, Ranjini, he doesn't mean all this stuff about radical economic transformation or anything else. He's really just saying things to make us think that he's busy and he's implementing a plan. But I don't know how many people even watched after the EFF were thrown out and the DA walked out. I don't know whether anybody could have cared less to hear him droning on for another hour after that.
No, it was 90 minutes, and it was awful. It was really awful. As I say, it was completely disconnected from the reality of South Africa and the reality of what had happened for the entire day yesterday. Mostly, you know, the whole thing became about the deployment of soldiers around Cape Town and why the president took this decision, why it became necessary. And clearly, you saw it there when he was standing at the podium. He is now the head of a militarized state. He's basically unleashed the powers he has as commander-in-chief of the South African National Defense Force, as the next line of defense for his kind of tested presidency. So he doesn't make sense in terms of the actual nuts and bolts of economic policy or even of a political vision. There's none of that. It's just every time I go on this, it's because the ANC caucus cannot protect him anymore. All those horrendous insults that was directed at the president in parliament, he can't be protected. He knows nobody can protect him from that. So all he can do now is intimidate you and me, everyone else out there to say, you don't like my speech, well, tough, suck it up. These soldiers are going to deal with you if you say so.
And he laughed quite a lot last night. He thought it was very funny when the EFF were manhandled out of parliament again. He thought it was very funny when the DA were chased out. He thought the whole thing was very amusing.
No, he did. He was in such a lovely mood. You know, he went from there, from parliament to this big ANC party at the Grand Parade. He did his song and dance and had a wonderful time. It was really a lovely night for Jacob Zuma. You know, he has his power, is affirmed by the military. You know, people in the ANC clapped and danced. And he had a jolly old time watching the show around him in the National Assembly as people got assaulted. People there in the gallery above were pepper sprayed. He was quite entertained.
Who were all the people in the public gallery who got pepper sprayed? I heard that Patricia DeLille had to leave because she was unable to breathe and her eyes were being, you know, being burnt by this pepper spray.
Yeah, the mayor of Cape Town made a rather hasty exit. You know, I actually thought it was because Zuma's speech was so terrible that she ran out like that. But turns out that, you know, that can of pepper spray was actually let off to the left of where she was sitting. So she had the worst of it. But in the same row that she was former President Mbeki. And I think Mbeki is just, you know, the stage where he just doesn't even care. So he didn't want to even go out. His support staff were trying to tell him leave. His wife actually also had to run out. But he just kind of sat there and stared at Zuma, you know, with that deadpan look that says, oh my God, this guy is still going at it.
Well, you say in your article, again, I'm going to quote from it, but everybody should read the whole thing from beginning to end. You said, in the gallery above, guests started running out of the house as an arid smell filled the air. What turned out to be a can of pepper spray was let off. Protocol officers tried to get former President Thabo Mbeki to exit the gallery to escape the stench. He declined. Many people have grown accustomed to Zuma's stink by now. Do you think the president, would you venture to guess what's going on in his head while all this chaos erupts around him? Surely at some base level he realizes that this is the circus over which he has presided. He is the ringmaster of this insane clown posse that is going mad around him.
Well, I don't think that's true. You know, I think any other normal human being would start to question themselves and their own role in what is happening. This is three consecutive years at the State of the Nation address that this has happened now. But he always believed it's other people's fault. Other people are doing these things. You know, he's just there. He comes to speak. You know, he's expressed his frustration previously in Parliament that everybody's been really nasty to him and he doesn't like it. So, you know, he doesn't know that he's the ringmaster, Garrett. He believes that, you know, most people in this country appreciate and love him. And then this is other people who are delinquents, Buseni Ndlozi's word, and they're behaving badly. I think we're going to get to the end of this presidency, and President Jacob Zuma is still not going to have a clue as to what happened in this country and his role in it.
Do you think that he has a plan for the forthcoming year that doesn't just involve his own political survival?
Well, his plan this year, I think, is to consolidate his power toward the end of his presidency. You must know that he had an unprecedented attack from within the ANC National Executive Committee. So he's going to try and seal that down. I think that the cabinet reshuffle will have to happen at some stage. I think he's going to try and get somebody elected in the ANC as ANC president who will protect him and will keep him in power to 2019, will also keep him cozy financially and legally. So I think that would be his major focus. Those 5,500 words he uttered today, he doesn't care, Garrett. He doesn't care about government program of action. So I think people who are hopeful and he says, you know, that we're starting a new phase now in our country. That's just nonsense, utter nonsense. And I think, you know, that the chaos that we saw and that, you know, we're all kind of growing fatigued by is here to continue till 2019.
Here's a question for you from someone on WhatsApp this morning. Question for Ranjeni. Should the approach from the DA and the EFF have been to leave Parliament or to be removed? It's 3 years in a row now where Zuma has not been accountable. That's from Trish.
Well, the thing is that there is a debate on the State of the Nation address next week. So in the course of the SONA proceedings last night, they're actually not supposed to question him on anything. He's supposed to just come there, deliver the speech. Everybody's supposed to clap and go away. And then next week, they return on Tuesday, and that's when the debate on the SONA is held. So, you know, the opposition's role is to make everyone understand how bad this presidency is. And I think that's what they did. They did make it known. You know, both the EFF and the DA have different strategies in the way to do that. And I think they came and they did their thing. And everybody understands what their agenda was. So next week, we'll hear the nuts and bolts of the speech and about, the general problems in the presidency. So, you know, it's not for me to say who was right and who should have done what. But basically, I think everybody came to do what they were supposed to do, and it was done yesterday.
There are more questions about all of this, but we didn't actually get to hear the whole thing because I was watching on TV. There were moments where the sound cut out. Probably the three major speeches from the opposition in terms of points of order or privilege were probably Julius saying that the president is rotten to the core. The second one that Mbuyiseni Ndlozi called him a constitutional delinquent. And the third one that John Steenhuisen said he had broken the country. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think those are the quotes that basically summed up the sentiments of the opposition. There was a lot of colorful things said by many people, and I think that there is major consensus in the opposition benches now that the president is he's just presiding over an empty presidency now. He broke the country. There's no place else to go, and basically we stuck with this. So it was bad. It's not the kind of thing that you want to hear at the opening of parliament about the Democratic elected president of the country, but that's how it is. That's how they saw it. That's how many see it, and I think that's what we'll keep on hearing.
The response to John Steenhuisen that led eventually to the DA walking out from the ANC side. Who was it who screamed "F you"? Was it Supra?
I'm not sure.
Supra Mahuma Pelo?
It's so noisy and there's lots of people screaming, lots of things. I'm not sure. I've seen things on Twitter saying that it was Jackson and Tembo. I really don't know who it was, but Garrett, the ANC benches are just amazing to watch because you see people like Fatabile Dlamini, acting as if she was really in the Jackson one. She'd be screaming things across the house, and lots of people were doing that. But during Zuma's speech, it's another picture because people fall asleep as they usually do. There was very muted clapping. They don't know what the hell he's saying either. So the only time they actually come to life is when they have to fight the opposition.
Wow. What a show. What a show. What an article. You must go and read Ranjani Munsami in today's Daily Maverick. You can read all about it. The Calamity Zuma and 10th Circle of Hell. You think he's going to make another two of these sonas?
Well, I think that's up to the ANC. I think that the opposition has tried various means to get rid of him through parliamentary processes. They can't. The rebellion now is coming from within the ANC. So that's the only thing that can remove him and save us from two more years of this nonsense.
You don't think that the ANC are emboldened and solidified by this kind of thing in parliament, that it makes them feel they have to stand up for each other and for the president. In some way, they rally behind him when this kind of thing happens. You don't think this is a statement of strength?
Again, for some people, yes. I think that they feel, okay, we're back in the driver's seat. We've got soldiers on our side. Everyone knows we're powerful. We can do this. I think there are lots of other people who are embarrassed, who hate what's happening to the country. The defense minister last night told us outside that she was sad and embarrassed. So that's quite strong words. Coming from the person who actually commands those soldiers who are protecting the president. So I think, on a personal level, a lot of people know that this is wrong. I think on a political level, people have to close ranks around the president. But I think internally in the ANC, there's a whole other process going on.
All right, Ranjani, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. You must be exhausted yourself. You didn't get pepper sprayed, did you?
I was choking as the president was choking, so everyone in the house could feel, you could taste it on your tongue. Mm. But we plow on. It's a new normal. People say, during the State of the Nation, that you just plow through it, do your work, and that's South Africa in 2017.
What kind of a seat did you have? Where were you?
In the media gallery, just above the president.
So
I could just see him turning those pages endlessly, I really think that next year I want to find a way to make my own point of order that they really ought to be serving drinks in the media gallery now.
Thanks, Ranjani. Good luck with that. Ranjani Munsami, the Daily Maverick, and her article in there today you need to go and take a look at. Oh, that's just to make sense of the sona. If there is any sense to be made out of the sona. Yeah.
She raised a really good point. There should be, in cricket, you get the DRS system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get three reviews mm-hmm. and you lose them. There should be a public point of order, a media point of order, and then each party gets 2 point of orders. And you can have like a scoreboard around it.
And if you waste your point of order, tough, you're out.
You don't get a new one.
Huh. All right, that's pretty good. Ben's got a game strategy here. Might just be the best one. Okay, let's get going, everybody. Let's get our morning off to a start. A good start. It's Friday. Got things to do, people to see, places to go. If you want to WhatsApp us, 079-748-2090. Don't forget, we've got that premiere happening soon. You know all about that. We've already given away a bunch of tickets, but you never know. We may be able to make more available. It's a great new movie called The Cure for Wellness, especially for those people who like to be afraid. From the director Gore Verbinski, who brought you The Ring. It's a psychological thriller you don't want to miss. A Cure for Wellness. It launches in theaters across South Africa from Friday, the 17th of February. I'm not sure if we have any tickets for our pre-screening left. I will check and let you know. But either way, you want to get to that that opening on Friday. It is on Friday, the 17th. It's next
Thursday, isn't it?
It says here Friday. Hmm. Friday, 17th Feb. Why, is that a Thursday?
I thought it was on Thursday.
Well, today's Friday, the 10th of Feb.
So it must be Friday, the 17th.
So plus 7.
All right, yeah. Friday, 17th. All right, that's all you need to know for now. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of amazing people who are in here today. There's a guy called Ulrico Gretschkumbo. He's in deep VR. You know virtual reality?
I just know deep Vs.
Yeah, you know deep Vs. Like, of course you do. Africa's most experiential cinematic virtual reality. That's what we're talking about. And everybody in Silicon Valley is obsessed with this virtual reality. If you ever tried one of these headsets on, it's amazing. You could go on a roller coaster ride without actually having to go on a roller coaster ride. And your body, because it's your eyes and your ears, you feel like you're actually on the thing. That shows you the power of your senses.
I read an interesting article the other day about how where the line will now be drawn regarding watching porn and using visual VR and cheating.
Well,
because isn't it now sort of kind of leaning towards being the same thing?
The most money they're going to spend in research and development is going to be in that kind of virtual reality. Of course. It's not going to be in sleigh rides and bungee jumps and stuff.
And I'm thinking of all those young, little, excited interns who will now want to test it out themselves. They'll totally want to volunteer to test and see how that goes.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's get off to a good start this morning. Yeah, we've got things to do, people to see, places to go, as I said earlier. And we do want to cover some of the other stories in the news. Ben, did you want to throw anything else about sporting? Are you doing anything sporty this weekend in terms of going to watch anything?
Well, my parents are here for their sort of annual holiday this year. We're all doing all right. So we're going to be north of Pretoria.
Ooh. Are you all going away?
Just my two brothers and I and my parents. So it'll be five of us. So we'll be watching sport and
that sounds awesome.
Talking about things.
You guys do this every year as a thing?
Yeah, well, they come up from Rubik West. And it's like towards sometime in February. So they go somewhere up country to look at animals.
Oh, right, like the game reserves.
Yeah, that's kind of a bit different. But yeah, that's what I'm doing this weekend. But definitely watching cricket when I get a chance to.
You definitely do not look or sound excited.
No, I'm not feeling well. Like I hate being ill because it doesn't happen often, but it's happened twice now in the last 3-4 months, which is really bizarre for me.
All right.
So I'm just keen to get away.
Well, that's Ben's plan. What are you doing, Sia?
This weekend, I actually just want to chill. You know, surprisingly, I was out for 4 days out of the 5 days of the working week.
Well, now that you're 22.
Look at me in demand. Exactly. So I literally just want to sit at home and do nothing, but I have a boozy breakfast on Saturday because I'm still sort of in a birthday spirit. And I think I actually want to watch Hidden Figures this weekend. So
Hidden Fences.
No, that's not what Steve does. Yeah, what's Hidden Figures?
Exactly. Hidden Figures. It's, you know, it's getting a lot of buzz. It's a great story behind it. So do you think?
He stands outside of a buddy's sex basement and watches Hidden Figures in there.
Ew. Oh, come on. Anyway.
All right. A couple of messages quickly before we wrap this up. Hi, guys. Just wanted to tell you that your show rocks. I've been listening to you right from the beginning. I listen religiously every day. You're brilliant, insightful, and funny as hell. There's nothing out there that even comes close to what you're doing. My wife says that if she needs to tell me to do something, she'll have to call into your show so I can hear her. I download every show and listen most of the day. Thank you from Neil. Isn't that nice? Let's give Neil a round of applause for being a stalwart of our struggle.
Ben, do you have any relationship advice for Neil?
No, he's
on the right track.
He's beating his own pass for that one.
Nino says, I'm a South African Cypriot, and the Turkish occupied north of the island for 42 years. Oh, yeah, we were talking to a guy yesterday, Abed, from Turkey. Well, African.
What a great interview that was.
Yeah, he was fun to talk to, and Turkey sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, it's got its problems like anywhere else, but I would love to go.
Are you genuinely considering it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mary says, Misha Barton in that clip sounds so possessed. Call an exorcist. Anushka says, I hate you guys. I'm recovering from a gallstone operation and you play this collapsing governor. I can't stop laughing. I'm in pain and I'm going to go to hell for this, but I can't stop laughing.
Anushka, yesterday you wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
So we're just doing what you asked for.
She also says, shame, man. Poor Misha Barton. Your mother is a witch. Parents that get their kids into the limelight must plan for their futures. These kids have something. Now they have nothing. The money's great, but think about their futures as a parent. It's your job to be the voice of reason and guide them through this thing called life. I don't know. Maybe Misha Barton's parents tried with her. Not every kid has a landing.
Is this...
It's not always the parents' fault. Sometimes the parents try and the kid's just a disaster. Ben, when you go into the wild with your parents and they look at animals, are they actually looking at you returning to your childhood habitat?
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
That's from Carla. I love it. And Gabriella says, you would think Trump being so active on Twitter would increase the number of Twitter users and therefore impact positively on their share price. If you want to get hold of us, WhatsApp 079-748-2090. Let's get your day going, shall we?
CliffCentral.com.